Welcome back to Culture and Curves, where we explore stories, ideas, and perspectives that shape the world. I'm your host, Chisomo, and today we're diving deep into a topic that's urgent and inspiring: the new global south, Africa's changing voice, Africa's voice in the changing world. And today I'm joined by my host again, Mulenga.
Mulenga Chola. Hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling confident. This one is for the Africans and the non-Africans to learn about what's going on. And I think this is an important topic that is crucial for the whole world. And I feel that this is something that will take us far. So I'm excited to have this conversation.
Thank you for having me.
I've been ready.
Let's get into it.
Let's go. So when you were growing up, what was people's views on Africa? What are the type of things that you're hearing about Africa?
Poverty. I never really heard anything positive about Africa. It's always been negative from the get-go. So I think even to this day, when I think of Africa, even though I was born in Africa, I'm still thinking it's just poverty, it's just dry lands and stuff. But
I mean, they didn't lie.
It's
hella dry.
Not overall Africa. Obviously, we've got some rainforest.
Do you know how I know when I'm about to land in Lusaka? Dry as hell. I just look out the window and I'm home.
But that's just different parts of Africa, though, not the whole Africa.
That's true. Because for me, growing up, when it came to like talking about Africa, it was always like, oh, uncivilized, oh, we're dirty.
Barbaric
and all that kind of stuff. But when I look at this man here,
Worship trees.
Huh?
They say we worship trees in Africa.
Worshipping trees is actually insane.
I mean, that's what they said.
Exactly. And it's just kind of like, it's always been seen as a place that is kind of like on the back burner and all that kind of stuff, unimportant. But if we were not as important as these people say we are, then why are you taking the gold and our minerals from us? Let's start there. Why are you here?
Because of mineral. Obviously, they're there just for minerals, nothing else. We're just an income for them. We're just an income for all these Western countries. So at the end of the day, like, we are still poor because we're not really using those minerals for ourselves.
Yeah.
We're just giving them away for free.
For the free ski in 2025?
Unfortunately. We're not really gaining anything back when we're giving away these minerals.
And it's tragic because Africa is so rich. Like, we have hella gold, we have silver, we have copper. I'm a Zambian, like, we have copper. Like, other countries, what else do they have? My mind's gone a bit.
Diamonds. We've got uranium.
But the thing is, it's just kind of like, I feel like African leaders and other African countries do not realize how much they have. They don't realize their worth. It's always just kind of like, it's not the same, but it's just kind of like when a non-African starts speaking our languages, they're like, oh my God, you're so, so good. I speak English 24/7. Clap for me. You're not clapping for me. When I say good morning, I've never heard anybody clap for me. But umuntu ngamba ukulanda, ah, mulishani, which means how are you in Bemba? They're like, oh my God. Oh my God, I can't believe you can do that. But nobody's clapping for me. It's just kind of like, because of that ideology, like the Western world is better. It's just kind of like, it makes us look, firstly, it makes me sad that people feel, I mean, it's obviously exciting for people to, you know, get engrossed in your culture and all that kind of stuff. But it's just kind of like, when we do the same things, we don't get the same type of excitement.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, have you ever had somebody say that, oh my gosh, like, wow, oh my gosh, this is amazing and all that kind of stuff, but it's just kind of like, it's never really the same type of energy.
No, but there's some good stories also that are coming out of Africa. For example, that lady, Tavisseng Mosia, like what she's doing with the solar project, I think it's beautiful. It's like, it's the stories that we don't really hear. When we talk about Africa, we always hear about the wars. Obviously, there's wars happening, but there's also people that are building Africa. They're building local communities.
Yeah.
These are people that should be celebrated. I mean, she's been really celebrated in some parts of Africa. She's won a lot of awards. But I think it is important that we get people like that to rebuild, to build Africa, to build local communities with these solar projects, because she's building these solar projects in remote areas where there's no electricity. So I think it's very powerful that those things are happening. I don't know what you think of that. Do you think like we need more people like that? Or
yes we do, because then we'll be able to have, I guess, not even I guess, we'll be able to have a better Africa. But the African leaders should be doing this first, because if she didn't do it, nobody else was going to do it. The presidents and the ministers and all that kind of stuff, they should be the ones doing this for us. It's just kind of like, for me, when you ask, is it worth it? Yes, but it's just kind of like, she's not getting the same amount of money as the other world leaders. And when they have the money, they keep it in their pockets. Like, what do you think of that?
I mean, it is true, because what another thing that I've realized as well, these Western charities that are going to Africa or trying to rebuild local communities in Africa, they don't really understand, because I feel like sometimes you don't really understand the struggle or poverty unless you grew up in poverty.
It's not necessary, is it? Like, some people might argue and all that kind of stuff, but it's not fair, because they're taking advantage of poor people. They need the resources, they need the money, but it's just kind of like, you come here, take advantage of people, and then you leave them. And then this kind of has this, then they'll have this ideology that, oh my gosh, we need them back and all that kind of stuff. And it's just kind of like, no, you don't.
It's gone.
Gone. Feeling.
It's gone. It's like sometimes I hear people saying, oh, we're going to Europe, whatever, to get our gold back and stuff. It's like, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
It's gone. It's gone. You know, it's too late.
Just good night.
But, you know, this Mkuru thing that was on about, it's another invention that obviously happened in Africa that I've used it a lot. It's like it's a service, a mobile service. You can also use online to send money to some parts of Africa, which I think is making it easier for people in the diaspora to rebuild back in Africa. Because I know a lot of people that are building homes in Africa, and they're using that service to send money to Africa to their local family, to their families, and they're building houses or even to connect with their families. Because I remember when I was in Zim, there was, is it MoneyGram?
Yeah,
MoneyGram and what is it?
Western Union.
Western Union. And those, like, they're not really African, obviously. They're benefiting us, but we need something that's coming out of Africa that's benefiting the people of Africa that we can be proud of as African people.
Yeah.
And I think Mkuru is one of those, and M-Pesa in Kenya, which you can send money without even network, internet.
Which is beneficial as well, because we can't just stick to one thing. We should be able to have various ways of having income as well. It's not always that we should be relying, because all I've known since I was like as a kid was always Western Union. That's all I ever that's all I ever heard about. But it's just kind of like this M-Pesa and all that kind of stuff gives people the advantage, especially people that come maybe like rural areas, to kind of say that, oh, you know what, I can have the same, because not everybody's able to. I saw Western Union. You don't have to not like go to the shop.
There's an app now, but before
then, you had to physically leave your house and go somewhere. But and also the disadvantage of that is that when it came to like the rural areas, they're not building that over there.
And like these things that are happening now, these apps that we're talking about, and Tabi saying it reduces the dependence on foreign aid.
Exactly. We should be able to just do things ourselves. Like, there's nothing wrong with having some help, but it's not every day.
It's not every day. We need to build our own. We need to do things our own.
But that's the thing. They don't want that. We're not necessarily being allowed to kind of grow ourselves. We're being taken over by other nations. And that becomes a disadvantage to us. That's where we lose our voices. That's how we lose our names, our cultures, and all that kind of stuff. It's just kind of like, if I went to... actually, let's say I come here and then I expect everything to be written in Bemba. I expect everybody, like, if I was going to start speaking Bembe again, but I probably will anyway. But I come here and expect everybody to do that. It's just kind of, people look at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah.
People look at me like I'm insane. But it's so normalized when we go back home. It's just kind of like I was telling you the other day that the exit sign at the airport in Lusaka is in English and Chinese. I remember just looking at it and just being a little bit confused, but then obviously learning that the Chinese helped us build it. But there's, like I said, there's nothing wrong with receiving aid.
Yeah, and speak help. On that one. Mm. What do you think of China's influence in Africa?
Yo! Okay. So China's influence in Africa, I mean, China's invested about 4 point something billion.
You know,
it's big bags. That's big boy money right there, right? So they're helping us and all that kind of stuff. Infrastructure, railroads and all that kind of stuff. And these things are not for free. No. We have to pay them back. It comes with a high... it comes with a very high cost. But we're never going to pay that back.
Or it's going to take us a long, long time.
But by the time we pay back, the flies will be eating my flesh. That's the only time we're going to, like, my grandchildren, it's just, it's insane because it's just kind of like, we keep receiving all this stuff. They're like, oh, we're going to help you. We're going to do this and all that kind of stuff. But it's just like the leaders just keep the money. They're putting it in the pocket. It's just kind of like, what are you actually doing? Because it's just kind of like, we lose everything. And do you know what? I actually admire how China works.
For
like,
themselves.
For themselves, yes. Because I heard that, I don't know if this is accurate, but 90% of Chinese individuals are homeowners. How many can you say for that in Zimbabwe? How many can you say for that in Nigeria? How many can you say for that in Mali? Do you know what I mean? It's just kind of like they know what they're doing because they believe in themselves. Our leaders, they like money too much. And there's nothing wrong with money. I love money. I love a bit of bling bling. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to your people, you have to put your people first. If you put yourself in a place of leadership, lead. Do you know what I mean? Don't start giving money to the pastors and all that kind of stuff. It's like I said, why is the pastor rolling up in a Merc to church and say, oh, guys, please give donations and all that kind of stuff. You give donations. You have the money.
Yeah.
Let's start there.
You know, in terms of like the loans that we're not going to finish paying for them, China, they build that railway line in Kenya. Was it Kenya?
Yeah, it was Kenya.
Kenya, some from Nairobi or something. And they didn't even finish it. I think it's like 90% and it's not even finished.
And they have to start paying it back.
Yeah, we're paying. Why?
It's not finished, but then you have to pay it back. Finish your job first. But the thing is, there's nothing they can do because they know they're in debt.
But we need to stop accepting these charities from China or these donations or deals with China.
But the only reason for us to stop that is for us to be able to help ourselves. But it also comes down to education and opportunity, you know? And it's just kind of like when these types of things happen, we look at them and if you're vulnerable, you can't help but accept it, you know? But it's just very disappointing because we'll vote for these world leaders and all that kind of stuff. We'll say, you know, this is the best person for the country. I believe in you. We're going to make all the changes. People, and you know, like back home, the way politics is done is a bit different. Even the vibe is just like completely different. It's actually pretty lit when the person that, you know, the country's been wanting has won all that kind of stuff. It's all about a winner and then nothing is done.
Because obviously these people, they work for the Western countries or whatever. And I think sometimes China can be good and bad at the same time. I mean, they're not...
Operate on that. How? Okay, start with the good.
The good, obviously they're building this railway line, these roads and stuff, even though they're not finished. But it's better than not having a road.
Mm.
Because in a lot of countries, the roads are dead. The railway lines are dead.
There's no railway road in
China. Yeah, and these ports, some of them are just dead. And China has built a few ports around Africa, which are very useful when it comes to trade.
Do you know what? Now you say that. You know, because they're like building small, all that kind of stuff. It's just kind of like they'll say, oh, it might, now I'm thinking about it, they'll say something like, oh, we're going to start here. But would you say that they're doing it deliberately or finishing it deliberately?
Yeah, it's just a strategy. I mean, they're doing it in certain regions where they know they can move the mineral easy. So if they're building a road from, let's say, certain city to a different city or to like a nearby port,
yep.
those roads, they're built to transfer gold from those mines to the ports.
Clarky! So, see, I didn't even think about that.
So it is good that we have roads, but then it's not good that they're taking away all the minerals.
That's the thing.
Because they're only doing it for themselves. They're taking the minerals, and then on top of that, they're giving us these loans. So yeah. either way, we're giving them gold, and then we have to pay them everything. Loans.
And that's the thing. They'll be like, oh, we're coming to help you. Oh, everything's going to be okay. And then they take over. How are we supposed to manage that? Like, if it were up to you, how would you pay back? How would you actually pay it back?
I won't even sign the deal in the first place. I'll try and see if the deal is beneficial. Because at the end of the day, these people like China, they're the ones that are coming to Africa. We're not going to them. They're coming to us and say, okay, we're going to build it this. We're going to offer you this.
But you know, I've noticed that their influence is becoming a huge thing in Africa. Because like loads of people, especially when it comes to education, they're going to China. Like most of, I think when I went to Zambia, four of my friends, all that kind of stuff, had their master's done in China. One of them got her doctorate there. She studied medicine as well. Another person studied medicine as well there. So they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because if you come and you're saying, you know, all this, or, you know, I can do this, all that kind of stuff, parents are just kind of like, Because even my parents at some point, they're like, do you know what? If we're still here, we're 100% of sent to China for school.
Which is good, because you go there, you learn, you bring knowledge to your country, you start rebuilding or whatever. You've got knowledge that you didn't have or that you can't have in your country.
Exactly. But then there's a difference between opportunity and dependency.
Yeah.
Because if I'm given the opportunity to learn, then of course I'm going to take it. But it's just kind of like the way I was telling you the other day, when before I moved to the UK, I think I was like 9 or something like that. There was a church not far from me that was built in 7 days. Oof. 7 days, they finished it. Bam, 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 finish.
We'll build it.
Huh?
We'll build the, was it the Chinese?
The problem that I have with that is that they're not giving the people around the opportunity to build these places. People are losing out on skills. People are losing out on school and learning, you know. Not everybody can get an education. But some people are better with their hands. You know, some people can do better things with their hands and they can build and all that kind of stuff. But they're just watching from afar. It's just kind of like, how are you going to learn?
Yeah. But all this influence from China and stuff, do you think it helps Africa, or we're just handing over Africa to China?
Africa's got, I don't know if I can say this, but Africa's about to be China 2.0.
But I start speaking Mandarin soon.
Hi, ni hao ma wo hen hao. That literally just means, how are you? That's all.
Okay, I don't know. I thought you were some racist or whatever. But
No. Actually, because when I was in year 9, we started having Chinese lessons in school, and that's the only thing I remember.
Yeah. How do you think these things are benefiting Africa, though?
Because
are we actually benefiting?
It is benefiting us to some extent, because we do need the railway roads. Because it's like, I was seeing that the BRI, the railway station that was built in Nairobi,
yeah.
It would take about 11 to 12 hours to get from one point to another. But now it takes only 4 to 5 hours, which is a good thing, you know. And also this gives people opportunities to also explore their own country. Because if I can get on a train and I can go to this place and all that kind of stuff.
5 hours.
I'm going to be able to do it. Also job opportunities as well. If somebody is able to get a job in a different city and use all this other stuff, then of course, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I am grateful for what they've done. But comes a point. It gets to a point where it's just kind of like, you're actually taking over. Like, what's going on? And the thing is, it's not even us. It's the world leaders. They're just watching. They're not doing anything.
I think, like, we need to have different people when we're having these deals with China.
Younger people.
We need to have younger people that genuinely care.
Not to be ageist,
yeah.
Thing, but like, why are you 90 years
that genuinely care about Africa or their countries when they're doing these deals, like, so that they understand what if this is going to benefit Africa in the future or it's just a short-term thing. And then, like, we need to understand what it is that China is actually offering us and what we're giving away to China. Because these minerals we're giving away to China, we can actually use them ourselves.
100%.
And we can say to China, like, okay, because China owns a lot of ports in Africa, like 23% or something.
Jesus.
So if we say to China, like, okay, if you, because you're the one that's coming to us.
Yeah.
If we are the one that are benefiting more than you, do you think China is going to say yes?
No, because Africa doesn't know its worth.
It's just a play. I think Africa is just a playground.
Of course.
There's just no hope. You know, speaking about China, now, what about Russia?
Hey!
Do you think they're any better? Would you?
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, when it comes to China, they're going through infrastructure, you know, railway roads and like churches and all this kind of stuff. But Russia is more based in the military. That's kind of one of the big three.
Like Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso.
And with that, they're only going through for going to, what was it that you told me the other day? They're only going to places that are kind of disadvantaged with this when it comes to military,
where there's war, where it's unstable, basically.
Yeah. And with that, I don't know how that is beneficial to us, because why are you bringing weaponry? Why are you bringing weaponry here?
I think it's only beneficial short term, because if we look at Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso, these countries, they've been controlled by the jihadis and the al-Qaeda since 2012,
right,
which is a long time. They control majority of the country. So these countries, they've been at war ever since. And the US and France, they've been there to try and fight these groups, but they failed. And then obviously when France and America, they prefer democracy in those countries. But then democracy doesn't work in those countries because these leaders are corrupt and it just, everything doesn't go to people, basically.
Yeah.
So what happened is...
Oh, so you're basically saying that it just stops with them and that not to the people.
Yeah, and then it's just like all wars and all the minerals are going to France and all these other countries. And then what happened was these three countries, they were like, let's get rid of democracy. Let's just get these military leaders to jump on and become the president or the leaders. If you look at Mali president, he was an army. Niger, same thing. Burkina Faso, he was a captain. He's still called Captain Ibrahim Traore. When they jumped into power and got rid of the, obviously in a coup, so not in the right way, but I think in Africa, that's what we need right now. Every country, we just need a coup just to get the country better. So when they jumped into power, they kicked out French and the US and they left and stuff, and Russia saw an opportunity.
But also, sorry, before you continue that, aren't they basically saying that, oh, we want to do our own thing?
Because
was it run under the French regime?
Yeah.
And it was, they basically said that we wanted our own thing, but then you're doing your own thing, but then you're also using Russia's weaponry. Have you seen the type of stuff that they have?
Because they bring security and protection to fight these groups, because they can't win on them on themselves.
No, they can't.
So Russia, they've sent Wagner Group, which is like a militia group, whatever. It's like a private military, and they make a lot of money from Africa. So the guy that owned this Wagner Group is like filthy rich. When I say filthy rich, he died, I think, in 2023.
Damn.
So he will send his armies there, his militias, and to protect these people. Like, so they support these coups. They support the military leaders. They don't really care about democracy and stuff.
Yeah,
and also, it's bringing their presence in Africa. And it's basically a strategy.
Africa is going to be boot camp.
It is already a boot camp.
Because it's just kind of like, I remember when I was in Lusaka and I'd see military everywhere. It's just even the streets and all that kind of stuff. Usually you have like back home, it's normal to have like a policeman and all that kind of stuff. Say you go this way and you go that way. But at some point it was the military. I'm just thinking, what's going on?
Right, yeah.
And even at one time we're driving and we couldn't even like overtake, because obviously there's roads where you can overtake and all that kind of stuff. It's normal. But we couldn't because we had them right in front of us. And there was a point where they were driving in front of us. And then we overtook one of them, and then one remained in front of us, another remained behind us, and we couldn't like do anything. So they almost blocked us from moving forward. I'm just kind of like, but that's not how it works. People should not be scared of
the military.
They should not be. I mean, what is the point of the military anyway?
I mean, to protect the country, but
from who?
From the foreign armies, from the enemies. Who's going to protect the countries if there's no army? I know it might be wrong with Russia or whatever, but then at the same time, I don't like it, but I prefer it to an extent, because these guys, they need protection. Like, yeah, you know, Ibrahim Traore, Mali, and Niger, they need protection from these wars that are happening.
Mm.
But then at the same time, Russia is also benefiting. But Russia doesn't come with, like, you know, how the West, they go there, like, especially, what do you call it, France, they were there, they were extracting crazy uranium, which was going to, so they'll mine the uranium and then you'll go to France and then France will sell it back to Mali. Like, whoa, it doesn't make sense.
But it's, you can't come and take my gold and then say, I'm going to refine it for, oh no, it's okay, I'm going to make it better for you. And you can have it at this percentage, or you can have it selling it back to me. That's insane.
But I can say, I can do that if you don't have the refinery, which is what we need.
But the thing is, we can build this stuff ourselves. We have everything. We should be able to go to other African countries, because I'm sure if one African country doesn't have something, another African country is going to have it. So then why are you then going outside and saying, oh no, we need them? No, you don't.
We don't, but
unfortunately, we can't do.
So we just, like, we don't have a choice, but we have to say that you have to choose whether America or Russia, and you know that America is just going to milk you and Russia is going to milk you, but a bit less than America. So I might as well just go to Russia,
America.
And they're offering you security that you can, you know, because they can also train your soldiers, Russia, and they also,
what's that again, sorry?
They can train your soldiers.
Yeah.
So this is another funny one. So in Mali, when France was in Mali, when they were training the soldiers in Mali, they were using sticks pretending to be guns. And when Russia came, they gave them real guns. So obviously you choose guns over using a stick pretending it's a gun.
Of course. Damn. Now I get it. But at the same time, how will we ever recover from all of this?
We won't, not anytime soon. Because Russia, again, this is a strategy for them, because now that they've been sanctioned by most of these countries, Western countries, and their only partner is China. So who else are they going to tend to? They're going to go to Africa. So as Africa is now the source of income for Russia.
So basically they're scrambling. It's like this, they stuff that there's an article that we saw, and this, it said the new scramble for Africa, or China's and Russia's scramble for Africa, because they know that that's where the money is.
That's where the money is. Yeah.
They know that that's where the gold is.
Yeah.
But if where we think the gold is outside.
It's like this Sahel region, whatever, where there's like, and you've seen apparently the Sahel region, which is, it's like a belt. So it's like from coast to shore. Mm. So it's got like quite a few countries, Mali, Niger, Somalia, Sudan. And if you look at it, most of these countries are at war. And apparently most people have died compared to anywhere else in the world.
Because they know what they're doing is strategic. They've thought about it. They've curated this to say this is the portion. This is the portion that we're gonna get. And we're going to give them this, and we're going to do this and all that kind of stuff. No, you don't need anybody else. I got you. This is what you have. And there's just kind of like, these African countries start thinking, you know what? I'm actually that guy.
Yeah, like Ibrahim Traore. He's that guy. We need leaders like Ibrahim Traore in Africa.
He is that guy.
He is that, yeah. He
knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and he's doing it for his people. He doesn't do it for himself.
I mean, is he the one that said that they're going to stop speaking or learning French?
Yeah, I think it's
in the
yeah.
country,
and then
and focus on learning the actual tribal languages of the, and actually learning them in school. Because actually, even back home, growing up, when I was like in year two, year three, and all that kind of stuff, the only language that we're learning is France. But then again, I could have my teacher was Congolese, so in Congo they do speak French. To be fair,
yeah.
But then where did French come from? Did it come from Congo?
So, which one would you choose when you're powering with these foreign powers like China or Russia? Which
China.
One would you choose? Why?
Because it helps the people. If you're able to build schools, if you're able to build railway roads and all that kind of stuff, then it gives people the opportunity for transportation. It gives people the opportunity for education. you know. But when it comes to Russia's strategy and all that kind of stuff, I can't even say I don't like what they're doing, but I just don't really have full belief in what they do because it's short term. Of course, the unfortunate thing with China is that we're in a lot of debt. Like that debt.
So there's no winning.
There's no way. You can't win. You cannot win, but you have to. It's like you have to pick the lesser evil. Two evils, you know, that kind of stuff. You have to pick one. I mean, which one would you pick?
Oof. I think it would depend on whether I'm in the Sahel region or in the Southern Africa. If I'm in the Sahel region,
yeah,
then I would choose Russia because I get protection, I get security.
Yeah.
But then if I'm in the southern part of Africa, I would choose China for infrastructure.
So how can African nations put their people first? If you're a leader, you are the president of Zimbabwe. You're that guy, President Chisomo. Thank you for having us. What are you going to do for the nation?
I think firstly, I would just try and choose the right people, the younger generation that are smart, that are very intelligent, rather than like choosing all these people that are over 6. I think there should be, I'll put an age limit. If you're over 75, just get out the
government. My gosh. Yes. Let's talk about that for a little bit. Not to be ageist,
yeah,
but if you're over 75, you should not be
in
parliament. Go enjoy your life. You know, go see all these other African nations, you know, build some chickens. Yeah. Build some chickens, build some pigs, you know, in Kumba, Muleshtisha. You should be selling all of that. You know, you could be chilling with your grandchildren, all that kind of stuff. But because just the taste of, this is why power is just so, that's just greed. That is the greed that's always talked about, because there's no way you're 95 and you're still in office.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Just to say, just like the money thing is, you're going to die soon. Sorry to be harsh, but the only thing that's guaranteed in this life is death. You will die. You're 75. Sorry, you see, let's not 75. You're 95. It's ticking. It's coming. Get out. Go and enjoy your life. Go and repent because you've done some stuff. Therefore. But anyways, yeah. After that, what else would you do?
So what after that, like, I'll... you know, these companies that are owned by the European companies that are not, that they're not benefiting Africa, like the mines or whatever.
Yeah.
Take over.
Oh, I like that.
I'll take over from them because, like, most of these companies, they're just there for their own good. Like,
I'd employ the youngers as well.
Yeah, there's the diamond company in Botswana.
Yes.
They own about 85% in the government of Botswana. They only own 15%.
Where's the logic in that?
So if I was the leader, I'll flip it.
Yeah.
They own 15% and I own 85%.
That's how it should be.
And then I'll employ my own people because these companies like China, when they're building these things, they employ their own people.
Yeah.
So I'll employ my own people, younger generation again, and like I'll teach, if China is coming in,
mm-hmm,
I'll let a few of them to teach my own people.
Yeah, like how jobs
is. Yeah, like learn a lot from these people. And then once they're done, once they're gone, we can build our own things using the knowledge that we learned from China or Russia or any other Western country.
Yeah, because China's like that. They are really, really smart and they know what they're doing.
And they're killing it in every sector that they're doing.
Like when it comes to, I don't know if there was, I saw in the news, I don't know if it was in New York, but like this girl,
yeah,
I'm sure she's Chinese. She's the youngest lawyer. I don't know if it's in America or in the world. She's 17. And she dethroned her brother who got the reward at the time.
Wow.
It's like when it comes to education, they are amazing. But I just wish that they would bring it. If you're going to come to us, I just wish that they would teach our people the same thing. The only difference is just lack of opportunity. If you're able to say that I'm going to do this, I'm going to these rural areas and all that kind of stuff, bring the education to the people that are also there. Don't just say, like, just don't just like let them watch and just build a church and then just like go away. It's just kind of like, that's not how it should be. You should be helping us. Don't just take over.
Over, yeah.
That's not how it should be. And I hate that. And it also, it just makes me really sad because I feel kind of helpless and there's nothing that I can do but just kind of like talk about it and I suppose share awareness as to what's going on because you can't just sit down and do nothing. Like, me going to Zambia for about 3 weeks was the best thing that ever happened to me, not just for my mental health, but also realizing just how everything is run, you know. And as proud of, as much as I am proud of being Zambian, and, you know, I see all this stuff, and it's not just Zambia.
Yeah,
it's just every other country. It's literally, there are 54 countries in Africa, and they're not, is there a country that's just like run by their own government and just like not getting help from outside?
Not really, but there's Namibia. They just paid over $850 million.
Oh yeah, they paid it back.
Paid it back in debt, which was really good. That's good.
That's how it should be.
Talking about women leaders, yeah. I'm sorry for this one.
I knew this was gonna come.
No, no.
I knew he was gonna bring it up. Go on then. No.
What do you think of Madam Detector from Tanzania? Whatever she's, yeah, she is.
Yo, I'm even scared, man. She.
I think she's just like making you females look bad.
Yeah, I absolutely don't see females, but they're gonna come for you. You said females. Did you hear that? He said females. Everybody come for
you. I said she said
females.
No, I said she's making like but look you right there. Yeah,
for she real. Is because that woman, the way she runs things, she's just a female detector, innit?
Yeah.
Like that's
how can you win by 98%?
Because people love power. It's the whole thing of like when it comes to taxes, right? When people talk about Elon Musk, most people would say something like tax the rich, right? Which is a thing. We should be taxing the rich. But then you also have other people that are just like, oh no, it's the money. And these people would be like, oh no, this person's a good person. They've built everything from scratch and all that kind of stuff. That guy's a trillionaire. You do not just become a trillionaire. That doesn't make sense. And when people see that, oh, you know, she's made it or he's made it, all that kind of stuff, they think I'm next. That's never going to happen. Sorry to tell you this. You are never going to touch that money. That money is never going to touch your bank account. I am so sorry. That billion that you see, oh no, the billionaires, it's the same thing that people that are against taxing the rich think that they're going to be the next person. You won't.
No.
They're going to actually use you. It's never going to happen. You know, and I think they see that and they may have that ideology that they're going to be just like that, but it's not that, you know. And she may have made some promises and say that I'm going to do this for you and I'm
obviously
going to do
they
this
all
for
do
that.
All these African leaders, they always promise, and then we as people will fall for it.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, thing is, sometimes they will actually pull through with certain things, but it gets to a point where it's just kind of like, there's something wrong, but then it's also almost too late.
Yeah, it's like that. What's his name, Paul Biya, the president of Cameroon.
Yeah.
The one that's been in power for over 40 years. I went to my barber the other day, I think last week, and there was like something on YouTube that he was playing. And then I was like, oh, Paul Biya has been in power for a long time. He goes, that man has been in power since I was 10 years old. I'm 50 now.
Yo.
40 years.
And how old is that man?
He's 51.
No. The president of, is the president
like
of Cameroon.
93.
93? Yeah. 93. And you're still in office.
Well, he's not in office. He lives in Switzerland, but yeah.
You see? Like, why are you doing in Switzerland? One of the richest countries in the world. You're not even sat with your people. I'm gonna dumb fear from afar.
Because I think he's got some health issues, so now.
I was gonna say something because he's got, let me just.
Now I think this is where another thing as well, that Africa, we're kind of failing, right? If I were to make Africa, like you said before, like benefit, whatever, I would take inspiration from Ibrahim Traore. So a few months ago.
You live in Zimbabwe?
Huh?
Would you stay in Zimbabwe?
Would I stay in Zimbabwe? Oh, yeah. What? Well, yeah. I have to. So this is what I would do. Like, I would take inspiration from him. A few months ago, I can't remember whether it was Qatar or but somewhere from UAE.
Mm.
They offered to build mosques in Burkina Faso. He was like, no. Build hospitals, build schools. Those are the key things that we need before these churches and mosques.
We don't need that.
No.
You can pray from home. God is everywhere. I promise you, he's going to find you in your bedroom. He's there. He's in your...
So those are the things that I would do to benefit Africa. But then these people, like now, because we don't have good hospitals, that's why Paul Biya is in Switzerland.
But how long has he been living in Switzerland for?
I don't know, since his mental, whatever, since his health issues
started. But the thing is, if he had cared enough to build these infrastructures in Cameroon,
yeah,
he would have still been there.
Yeah, easily. But because, again, democracy is failing in Africa. So.
And the thing is, it's not the first time that an African leader has had to go to a different country for health, for help, you know, if they're having like health reasons and all that kind of stuff. Mm. We should be able to do it ourselves.
Mugabe as well, my president, former president, whatever, he went somewhere in
that man.
Asia to...
How long was it? How long was he running office?
Don't ask me.
That man...
I wasn't even born yet.
And how old are you now?
28. These are the things that are happening in Africa that need to change. Like I was saying, that we need to have an age limit. 75, you're out.
Get out.
Whether you're a minister or foreign affairs or whatever, out.
Yeah.
But like another thing, this is another thing that's pissing me off. So now in Zim, right? The president just gave away cars, like hundreds of, I think 64 cars, high-end cars, to these ministers and mayors or whatever. Instead of giving them cars, why not build hospitals?
Yeah.
Like now people are scared to go to the hospital because, you know, if you go to the hospital, you're going to die. I'm being real.
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah, because there's just no point. If you go to the hospital, you're just going to die because there's just nothing that's going to help you.
That's so bad. And that's so bad. So he basically had the money and he thought, do you know what? Should I build this hospital?
Or should I bribe my people?
Nah, man, I need to, that guy, he needs a Merc.
Yeah, he needs, yeah, Toyota, Highland, whatever it is.
He needs an Audi R8 V10. No, that's what I need. I need that one. That one's for me. But it's just kind of like, you don't need, because this, it's actually doing my head in, because it's just, it's nonsensical to me. Why would you not help your people? And then what happens is, they'll give this money to all these other people and then they'll be like, oh, please donate. And this is what I said before anyway. Please donate and all that kind of stuff. Like, oh, help our people. But now you have the money. And this is what happens, because when stuff like this happens, this is how we have all these other people come and say, oh, you know, not ministries, but it's just kind of like when these other churches from internationally,
yeah,
come to us and they kind of like say, oh, you know, we care about the people and, you know, our donations and that kind of stuff. Sometimes they do help, because we have had some people that have come from, let's say, like USA and, you know, all that kind of stuff. They'd come and help the children and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, no, you're not, you don't care. So, you know how you said, when it comes to 75, yeah, they should stop. I think the important thing that we should focus on is teaching the younger children the worth and what Africa is worth. And the difference between then and now is social media. We can see everything. We can see how we're being treated. And social media is such a crazy important tool, because people have been able to get scholarships. People have been able to get job opportunities and all that kind of stuff. But it's just kind of like people would see this, but then they take the person, like the young person, and take them out of the country. No, you should be able to have these workshops in the country.
In the country, yeah.
Teach the kids, have them say, okay, this is what we do and this is how we do it. And all that kind of, if you're just leaving it and just saying that, oh, you should get out, How does that benefit the country? How does that benefit our people? There's a reason why loads of people are leaving Africa.
Africa, yeah.
Can't blame them.
No. I was going to say as well, there's something that's actually changing Africa, Africa and Nigeria mainly. You know this guy, Aliko Dangote, the one that owns that Dangote, I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right.
Mm.
He owns that refinery, that oil.
Oil refinery in Nigeria.
Nigeria.
Yeah.
He's like the richest black person or the richest person in Africa. I like what he's doing for Africa, because now his company, what they're doing with this oil thing, they're, yeah, showing the world that Africa can actually depend on Africa when it comes to these natural resources or these oil and gas.
Yeah.
Because before, we were buying a lot of oil from America, from UAE and stuff. But now, his refinery is going to be producing around 1.6 million barrels a day. That is a lot.
Damn.
And also, he's going to be creating around 65,000 jobs in Africa.
That's amazing.
For the African people.
That's amazing. But the thing is, when these other USA, China, Russia, and all that kind of stuff, when they see a bit of oil,
That's where the war is as well, where there's oil.
They'll be like, oh, we're best friends, we're buddies. No, we're not.
No.
And I like that he's doing that because he's understanding our worth. That's how it should be, investing in the people, investing in the country, building the people. Because we may have been, you know, like, with Africa is at a disadvantage due to colonization and, what's the other one? Due to colonization, mainly. And slavery as well, because of slavery. So we've lost out a lot on that. But I need Africa and Africans to understand that we are the best thing that happened to us. Everybody should believe in themselves. Really and truly, everybody should believe in themselves wherever they come from. But I need Africans to have that engraved in their head that we are amazing people. And we're so beautiful. We have so many different cultures. We have so much is going on. We do not always have to go outside. This is why we have to come together. But for even the togetherness, shupasan.
It's not happening. Yeah. And I think our future as Africa relies, I mean, that's where our future is when it comes to natural resources. And I think we need to make sure that we partner with the right partners.
Yeah.
For strategic reason. Because if you look at we've got oil, we've got gold, we've got everything. We've got uranium that's going to Russia now. So we need to realize that we don't need China, we don't need Russia, we don't need France. We don't.
But they're scrambling for us.
Yeah, we don't need America. We can do this ourselves. There's this thing by the African Union. It's called Agenda 2026. I think it's some crap stuff, to be honest.
Mm.
But I think with the right people, with the right mindset. So the Agenda 2063, they're trying to make Africa better. They're trying to modernize Africa by 2063. Why so long? It's a long way, 2063.
Yeah. I don't, because you're not immortal.
Mm. And why do they have these agendas when they're not even going to be there? You need to get people that you know they'll be there they care about the future.
Because this future that they're saying that, we're going to do this 2063, you're not going to be part of it.
No.
You...
But we need to show these people that we don't the West. We need to show them that we don't need them. Recently, Trump said there's a G20 in South Africa, in Johannesburg soon.
Mm.
And he said, I will not be sending any American staff, whatever, to South Africa because of what's happening in Africa. South Africa, the genocide, whatever, white farmers.
Yeah.
As Africa, we need to be okay, you're not coming. We don't need you.
It's, oh my gosh, it's like when, I don't know if it was the tariffs, when it was a Chinese minister, I don't know, I can't remember his name, and you remember what I was saying? Okay. And then America was just like, we're going to take away our percentages of that kind of stuff. He was like, we don't need you.
We don't need you,
We don't need you. China has been there since Lord knows how long. We don't need you.
So we need to be like that.
We need to have that mindset. Guys, if we had that mindset, we would be bawling. We would be... my Merc would be gold right now.
And another thing as well, you know that Mali president, when Trump said the Malians, when they apply for visa to America, they have to pay up to $15,000.
The same thing happened in Zambia.
We need people like that. He said, for Americans to come to Mali, they're going to have to pay the same amount as well.
Period. Because you're not going to come and play in my face. So I have to pay 15K. Do you have 15K?
I think Trump, if you can stand up for yourself, he'll respect you.
I have nothing nice to say about Trump, unfortunately. Well, fortunately.
I mean, for his people, whatever. I'm not saying he's a nice person or whatever. I don't really care about Trump or whatever.
But I like that the Mali president said that if you're going to come, you pay 15K.
Yeah, if your people are coming, we'll match it.
Yeah, tip for that.
In Zim, Trump was like, you put, 15% tariffs on all the goods and stuff.
Yeah.
Zim said 0%. Why not say 15% as well?
Because, I can't say anything inappropriate because my mom's going to watch it. Because they, how can I say this appropriately? Because they love being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
They enjoy the power from other people.
They enjoy the struggle.
They enjoy the, that's it. because that's all they know. That's all we know. Struggle is all we know. But you need to rise above that. Not everything is struggle.
No.
And this trickles down, because if it's coming from the government, the struggle, it comes in, you know, in military, it comes in hospitals and all that. Because it shouldn't be normal for you to go to a hospital. What are you talking about? What do you mean you don't have anything? I'm coming here for like my, like it was the same thing that you told me about, you know, the other day you're telling me about when you broke your arm as a kid. When it comes to transportation or just even that, I'm even just talking about it, just making me feel so frustrated, because it's like, you shouldn't be, why are you doing that to your people?
Yeah. So I'll say this story to the viewers.
Yes. Yeah, like, tell them. So let them know. Let them know.
So when I was young in Zim, we were playing with kids. There was like a big drum. So we would kind of walk on top of this drum or whatever, like, you know, trying to be funny or whatever.
Mm.
And then I wasn't really skillful. I wasn't very skillful anyway. So I fell, and then I fell on my arm, and then I kind of broke my arm.
Yeah.
And that was like during the day. And because it was in the rural areas,
yeah,
we had to go to the nearest clinic the next day.
And how far was the nearest clinic?
It's not about how far, it's what did we use to get there?
What did you use to get there?
So, I mean, this is pretty normal anyway in Africa. I don't think there's like any negative to it. But, you know, what are they called? Carts.
A cart.
Yeah, like we're using donkeys or whatever to pull, right? So they had to put a blanket, obviously, to make me comfortable.
Because the donkey was literally
pulling the thing.
Was it just one donkey?
No, there were like four donkeys, I think.
Was it fast?
Yeah, they can run. They're like, they can run really, really fast. So anyway, we went to the nearest clinic. The nearest clinic was about, I think, 3-4 hours. That's the nearest clinic.
Jesus.
We got there.
Mm.
There's no painkillers.
Not even paracetamol?
No, nothing.
Panadol. Because we call it Panadol back home.
There's nothing. And there's no way to do the blaster thing.
Oh, yeah.
So then we had to go back home. So that's another 3-4 hours back.
I'm sure you must have been in so much
pain. Oh, yeah. I was in pain. So anyway, we got back. There's no medication. There's nothing. I'm struggling with pain. So my grandma, she used a scarf. So she had to put my arm in this position for like 3 weeks or whatever. So she put a scarf and whatever.
And that's the only...
That's kind of helped. And then obviously you have to use the... trees or whatever, like tree roots or whatever to help.
So like traditional healing,
yeah,
basically.
Healing, yeah.
Traditional healing can be good. It's not always bad. It depends on how... unless it's like some Buddhist... I mean, that's a conversation for us, because we're actually going to talk about Hoodooism and Voodooism at some point. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with using natural resources to kind of heal yourself, because, I mean, that's kind of what we have them for. And that's the best part about like having grandmas, because they'd actually know how to properly take care of you.
Yeah.
R.I.P. to my queen, man.
Yeah.
But like, I'm glad that you're able to have that, have her take care of you. But the thing is, you should not have been in that
situation. No, but we should have better facilities.
Yeah.
Even whether it's in rural areas or it's in towns or whatever, we need to have like hospital or even in clinics, we need to have medication.
Because people, just because somebody is poor doesn't mean that they don't deserve to have a good life. That does not mean that they don't deserve to be able to get to hospitals and get the best treatment. It's so
fun. I mean, I enjoyed myself until I broke my arm.
There you go. Do you know what I mean? And the thing is, that's normal for you to do that.
Yeah.
What is not normal is them not being able to give you basic painkillers.
Yeah.
Grandma should not have to worry about, oh my gosh, what am I going to do for my grandson? I need to make this medicine, all that kind of stuff. I'm sure it came from her heart, but she could have been doing something else while you're healing. You should have had a cast or every
plaster thing,
or everything that was needed. You should have had that, but because the world leaders are greedy and you're going to Switzerland,
living large,
living large. And Switzerland is so expensive. I know he's living large. I know he may be sick. But it's like, Muletamba from afar. Oh, you know, yeah, I care about the people and all that kind of stuff. You're not even there.
Yeah. And just to kind of close this topic, right? What can young people in the diaspora contribute to Africa?
Talk about it. Don't ignore it. Mention it. Tell people, show people what you can do. All the skills that you have. take them back home if you can.
Yeah.
For me, God willing, because I'm obviously I talk about mental health and skincare. I don't know how what I can do skincare in Africa, but I know I can do. I mean,
African skin is beautiful anyway, but they don't need.
You know, but when it comes to mental health, I would love to have something to do with mental health back home.
Yeah.
That's something that for me personally, Lingachola is going to do.
Yeah, because I learned it from here, so it might as well take that knowledge back.
Exactly. You know, because Lord knows mental health back home, that's a conversation for something else. Like, mental health back home is completely different, but it's important. But these are the skills that I have accumulated myself.
Yeah.
Also me having a degree in journalism. This is part of journalism. I'm talking about it. We're having conversations about it. You know, enjoyment is okay. Everything that I like enjoyment. You guys, you'll find me a groove in a few weeks. I don't know. You find me a groove. But at some point, you have to say, this is what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Okay? I have the resources and I have this and that. What can I do here? Because you can't just sit here and let them use you. You have to be your own person. I feel like as young people, we have to talk about it. We have to see what we can do to better our own people and all that kind of stuff. Because I know when it comes to us, we do not have that sense of community.
No.
And that is why China is wehead. Because have you seen how they work? They work so hard and they work together really, really well.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever tried to do a business with a family member? That love says everything. So, would you say, is this Africa's century, or are we repeating ourselves? Are we repeating history?
I think we're just repeating history with the same players. I mean, different players now, because obviously before it was the worst, like obviously Europe and US and stuff, UK. But now we're just repeating the same thing with China and Russia. But the difference is that we know that these people are going to milk us. We know that these people are not really going to benefit us. So I don't think this is our century. I think we've got a long way to go.
Yeah.
At the moment, we should just not forget it, but we should work on trying to build for the next century. Obviously, I know I'm not going to be there in the next century, but we need to try and make better way for the future generation to, like, you know, when they come to this earth, they've got like better means to better themselves or just to create a better future.
Yeah, so basically we should be the starting point.
Yeah.
We need to start somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, because it's basically Africa repeating itself. It's like the same thing, but in a Gucci belt.
Yeah.
It's like literally the same thing. But the only difference now is due to media and all that kind of stuff, you know, due to globalization, we're able to see various things. But because now we can see it, we need to make those changes. We need to make those differences. We can't just sit and do nothing. We have to help one another. This individualism is not really our thing, you know. Like when you go back home, I'm sure everybody's together.
There's this thing Ubuntu.
Huh?
There's this thing called Ubuntu. Ubuntu Ubuntu, which means I am because you are.
Exactly. And we need to have that amongst ourselves.
We should,
and this is just me, like, say, like, for example, I'll just be like, oh, I'll just deal with the Zambians and all that kind of stuff. I work with Nigeria. I work with South Africa. I work with Somalia. I work with Kenya. I work with all this kind of stuff. It's about taking care of each other.
Yeah.
Because we're all one. We're literally just all one.
Yeah.
One Africa, one nation.
One Africa. Yeah. So, guys, if you've enjoyed this episode, we really appreciate it. And if you got anything to say, don't forget to leave a comment, like, share, and obviously subscribe. Check out our Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Culture and Caves Pod. I'm going to put you on the spot again. I'm sorry, even though I don't know what you're saying, but I'm going to ask you what you're saying. But yeah, then you say thank you and goodbye to our viewers in Bemba.
Okay. So, Tuatasha Mule Tamba Fiozia Fitele Chita. And we'll see you next time.